Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Beginning at verse 43, the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1030. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43, page 1030. Again, just to set the context a little bit here, this is about the middle of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Began with the Beatitudes at the beginning of chapter 5. This actually runs through chapters 5, 6, and 7. And as we've been speaking over the last few weeks, Jesus continues to be presenting this incredibly high bar, this standard of living. If you are a child of God, this is the kinds of things you should be doing and the way you should be living. And I think perhaps we get to the high point here in terms of what we're supposed to be doing. And Jesus talks about our relationship with our enemies. So we pick up in the middle here at chapter 5, verse 43. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. It makes me chuckle a little bit. I love the liturgy that we have, and we have these responses that are kind of standard responses. I say the word of the Lord, and so thanks be to God. But think about what I just said. You must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, and you're saying, thank you, God. Thank you for setting that high standard, incredibly high standard, impossibly high standard, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, of course, we're saying, no, we're thanking God for his word that he gives us. But if somebody didn't know anything about the Bible, they heard this reading, they heard all of us say, oh, yeah, thanks, God. They're like, really? You're really thanking God because he's telling you must be perfect, which you know you can't be? And so it makes me chuckle sometimes when we take things in context and out of context. And so here we have this reading, as I said, in the middle of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And up to this point, we've been talking about this incredibly high standard that Jesus has been setting for the things we're supposed to do, relationships with those around us, our relationship with God, but here, specifically, relationship with our enemies, with those who hate us, with those who maybe we also hate, maybe people who have wounded us, maybe people who have hurt us. This is a tough one. This is a tough teaching when Jesus gets to this point. And yet, if there was ever a time that we would understand that what Jesus is doing in the Sermon on the Mount is purposely setting this very high standard. He's purposely saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of God, and on and on and on. He's purposely doing that in order to show us who we really are. And so here we see, if there was ever any question at all, that what Jesus is setting is an unreachable, beyond human expectation, beyond human capability, it's this one verse in here, you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Because no one can be perfect. That word actually means complete. You must be complete as your Father in heaven is perfect. And you get to that point, you're like, literally throw our hands up and say, I am a sinner in so many respects. I fall short of these standards in so many respects. And finally, we just kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And so it just reinforces again and again and again why we say we are saved by grace alone. Why we are saved by grace alone. It is what God does working in us. We cannot earn our salvation. Okay? It can only be given to us by, because if we want to earn it, okay, here's the standard. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. How about that? You know, how does that work for you? Well, it's impossible. Jesus, have mercy upon me. Save me. Hosanna, save me. And of course he does. And so we are saved by grace alone. And I think that's the first and a very important message from the Sermon on the Mount, is we cannot expect to keep all the things that Jesus is talking about, at least not on our own. Not on our own. It's only with the help of the Holy Spirit working in us we're able to do any of this. Now, a second purpose of the Sermon on the Mount is to show us what the Holy Spirit will do in us. As we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we commit our life to him, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us, and the Holy Spirit starts to transform us from the inside out. What is the Holy Spirit doing? It's a process we call sanctification. It's a process making us more like Jesus. The Father sends his Holy Spirit into us to make us more like Jesus. So when he looks upon us, he says, oh, I see my son Jesus. And so Paul even talks about putting on the cloak of righteousness, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may stand before God blameless because of what Jesus Christ has done, not by our own merits, lest we boast. It is only by grace alone and Jesus Christ alone and by faith alone. And so the Sermon on the Mount tells us not what we just can't achieve, but also what the Holy Spirit is achieving in us and working in us, things like getting along with other people. And again, as we said here, specifically about getting along with our enemies, perhaps the most challenging of all relationships. And so what we see is, if there was ever evidence of the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in me, it would be in my relationship with my enemies, with people that I hate, people who hate me. Okay? If ever we're going to see this transformation of the heart, we'll see it in our relationship with people whom we are not on good relationships with. Okay? Now, what is that standard that we're seeing? Again, it boggles the mind if we take this purely from a worldly point of view. Let me remind you some of the things we just heard from Paul's letter to the Romans. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Think about that. Think about that. Bless those who persecute. Somebody's persecuting me and I'm supposed to turn around and say, bless you? Wow. He says, repay no one evil for evil. Isn't that? What else do we do? But we want to repay somebody evil for evil. I mean, isn't that what life is all about? Never avenge yourselves, but leave to the wrath of God. Now that takes all the joy out of it. I mean, don't we get satisfaction out of avenging ourselves, right? When we get to stick it to the other guy? I mean, it really feels good sometimes, doesn't it? And sometimes we will wait years for the opportunity, won't we? Knowing that eventually, somehow, some way, I'm going to get my turn. And we're going to stick it to them, and we're going to stick it to them good, and it's really going to feel good. What we don't realize is what it's doing to us in the inside and our all other relationships. But that's what Paul is saying here. Never avenge yourselves, leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance belongs to who? Belongs to God. God's saying, that's mine. We say, no, Lord, I want it. He says, no, it's mine. I will avenge, I will repay the Lord. If somebody deserves repayment, God will take care of it. Now let's think about this as well. Who do you think is going to get them better, us or God? Now, in kind of a distorted way, I take a lot of satisfaction out of that. Right? Kind of twisted here, right? Okay. But if I'm going to, again, helps me kind of mentally, I think, you know, he's going to do a much better job at it than I ever could. Now, of course, our hope is that everybody would come to repentance. And we'd have reconciliation and forgiveness. That's our hope. We would never want anybody to be eternally separated from God in the fires of hell. We wouldn't, no matter our worst person we could think of, we wouldn't want that, as horrible as that would be. So we're always hoping and praying for reconciliation. But if it does not come, God's saying here, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And so we leave it to him. And this is just, I don't know if anybody's ever actually done this, but Again, this is the standard that's given us in Scripture. It says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Think about this. Think about what the Scriptures are saying. We have a person who hates us, who has hurt us, who is just looking for another opportunity to stick it to us again. And they come along and they have some kind of a need. And God is saying, we're supposed to reach out our hand and say, yeah, let me help you. Does this not boggle the mind? I mean, beyond human ability to respond, it is only by the grace of God working in us, right? I mean, sometimes we look at evil in the world, we say that evil surpasses human capability for evil. It's so evil, it must be something of the devil. Here is an instance that we say somebody who has the ability to say to someone who hates them and hurts them and continues maybe to hurt them, and they have a need, and I'm going to step out and I'm going to help this person. How is that possible? It is not humanly possible. It is only by the grace of God, the work of the Holy Spirit in me that says, yes, I will help you. I will help you. Now, I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear, you know, individual stories about people, because I've heard stories of it, you know, read about it. I've certainly never seen it myself. But what Paul says, we heap burning coals upon their head. I have heard of people saying they were so overcome by someone's generosity and somebody's act of love that it really did turn the heart of their adversary. And they said, what is this? You know, I'm your enemy, and here you are, you're offering to help me. Yeah, my master tells me this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, is my heart in it? Not really. Not really. Not really, but my master tells me this is what I'm supposed to do. I've heard stories about that actually changing people's hearts and saying, wow, you know, maybe there's something here. And so there's a softening. So it is like keeping burning coals. So he says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That takes a lot of faith, right, to step out in that and say, I'm not going to respond with evil. I'm going to respond with good, because good will overcome evil. That's what the text is saying. Now Jesus says it as directly as Paul does. You said, you know, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Okay, that comes from the Old Testament. Yeah, we like that. That sounds fair, doesn't it? Love our neighbor and hate our enemies. That's what we all do. Okay, that's fair. But I say to you, and this is very interesting too. It's not the word. It says, I say to you. He's claiming authority himself. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What a statement Jesus is making. It is extraordinary. It truly is. And so we think of these things and how we could respond in a human way. And I think we just have to wonder, how would that be possible? Even if we saw it in another person, I think we would just be in awe of it. Somebody who's being stricken or being hurt or whatever, it just would be in awe of somebody being able to turn and forgive and actually bless their enemies. But that's exactly the standard that's being given to us. And we are being told, as the Holy Spirit transforms our heart, that's what the Holy Spirit will start to do in us. And again, I'll say it again. I think there's no greater evidence of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in my heart than my relationship with people who hate me and I'm not too happy with either. Okay, so that's a transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Now, how is this possible? How is it possible that anybody, any human being, could actually come to the point of loving our enemies? Well, last week, again, this is part of the same theme that's going through this Sermon on the Mount. Last week, we talked about how Jesus said that those who murder someone and those who are angry with just someone, that both will be subject to the hells of fire. And you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound fair. Somebody murders somebody, somebody else is just angry with somebody, and you're telling me we're both subject to the same fires of hell. And again, the point we talked about, which I think is again prevalent throughout this text, is that Jesus is saying it's not what you're doing, it's what's in your heart. Because the bitterness in your heart is the root, it is the ground of whether you kill somebody or whether you're angry with them. It still comes from a stem of bitterness within us, and that's what Jesus has said. That's what we're trying to get rid of. That's what we're trying to transform. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to change in us. Get rid of the bitterness, get rid of the anger, get rid of the resentment. To become more like Jesus. Wow, what a challenge. What a challenge. It's this root of bitterness. It is the sin behind the sin. Why do we do the things we do? well, we've got things within us. It's the sin behind the sin that Jesus is really concerned about, because everything comes out, flows out of the heart. Remember, that's what Jesus said. What evil flows out of the heart. What's in the heart? Bitterness, resentment. What's going to flow out of it is animosity toward others. Okay? And certainly not love. And so we're looking at the example that Jesus is presenting to us. And now when we look at it in terms of our enemies, we're seeing the very same thing. When we look at our enemies, people who have done things to us, who hurt us, who don't like us, we see the same kinds of things that we see in ourselves. I talked last week about these greed. We think of greed in terms of excess, you know, that somebody's really greedy for money. Well, greed is simply we want more than what we have. Wanting more than what I have, okay? God has given me so much, whatever. Well, that's not enough, God. I want more. Not only that, but then pride comes in and says, not only do I want more, but I deserve more. And not only do I deserve more, but I don't think I should have a work for it. I think it should be given to me. Does this sound familiar to the world today? Wanting more than what we have or what God has given us, saying, I deserve it, and it should be given to me. Now, when we see this, what happens is a result of bitterness and resentment, and that's the real crux of what Jesus is trying to get at. Remember this core of bitterness, these roots of bitterness that affect everything in our lives, affect our relationship with other people, certainly affect our relationship with God as well. And so it's the root of bitterness that when we look at somebody else and what they've done, what we do maybe is not on the same scale as what they do, like killing somebody or whatever. But if we can recognize and say, you know, it's the same thing in that person is what I have inside of me. Same thing in the other person is what I have inside of me. I sometimes find this very helpful in terms of understanding and not being angry at other people. And I continue to wrestle with things that happen when we're driving in our car. You know, I think I have a right to go the speed limit. Don't we have a right to go the speed limit? I should be able to go the speed limit. And when somebody's going 10 miles an hour below the speed limit, what's my reaction to pray blessings for them? And yet, sometimes I do the very same thing. I know there's somebody behind me, and I'm saying, well, I'm going, you know, as fast as I should go. I'm not going to go any faster. Again, I had this just this week. I talk about these things that I do, and I do the very same thing. It was over in Hayesville. You come to Tuskegee, and people always turn at this one particular intersection near the library. People always turn. So nobody put their, guy didn't have his turn signal on, which people don't use their turn signals by and large. So I'm waiting, and I see the car, this pickup truck coming, and I'm like, oh, they're going to turn. So I pull out. Well, they weren't turning. I cut right in front of this guy. And I mean, it wasn't close, you know, it weren't going really fast. I mean, right there. But they had to slow down because I cut right. And I'm thinking, I wonder what this guy's thinking about me right now. You don't want to know. Was that you? Red pickup truck? Yeah. And it just reinforced me. See, the things that I get so upset with other people about, and I think about, I do the very same thing. Now, yes, on a different scale, we're talking about murder and the horrible things that happen out there. But you know what? When it comes to greed and wanting what I don't have, yeah. When it comes to thinking I deserve it, oh, yeah, I've got that in my heart, too. What about sloth and laziness, just thinking it should be good? Oh, yeah, that's in there. Bitterness, resentment, yep, it's all in there. And so do you see, it's just a different scale. But it's the same thing that's in my heart that Jesus is saying, we want to get rid of that. We want to get rid of that by the Holy Spirit transforming our hearts to make us more like Jesus. We need to understand that this really is who we are. Again, different scale, but what we see in our enemies, the horrible things they're doing, and we say, you know what? I do some of the very same things. G.K. Chesterton wrote in one of his novels, "No man is really good until he knows how bad he is or might be." No man is really good until he knows how bad he is or might be. Isn't that kind of sobering? Alexander Solzhenitsyn put it a different way. He said, the line that divides good and evil passes right through the human heart. saying the same thing that Paul said. Paul in Romans 7, he says, I know what I want. I know what's right. I know what I should be doing. Guess what? I can't do it. Not only do I not do what I want to do, I can't stop doing what I know I shouldn't be doing. He finally gets to the point, exasperated. Woe is me. Who's going to save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus says, later on in the same sermon, he gets to the point in chapter 7, he says, judge not, lest you be judged. Who am I to be judging someone else when I have the very same bitterness and pride and greed within my heart? That's what the point of this thing. That's the point, I think, that Jesus is making throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount. He's presenting all these things that we should do. It begins with the Holy Spirit transforming us in our heart. And so, as hard as this teaching is, we need to understand that loving our enemies is not really about our enemies. It's not about what somebody else has done to me. It's not about whether it's just or whether it's fair. It's not about the other person. It's about us. And what's inside of us is the Holy Spirit transforming us to be more like Jesus or not. And so if we listen to the scriptures and what they're telling us about our response to people, if we have the Spirit of life in us, and somebody hurts us or hates us or does something against us, the scriptures say to us, let it go. Just let it go. It's going to hurt us more anyway, right? It just eats at us, doesn't it? We've all experienced that. It just gnaws at us like a cancer that grows. Just let it go and let God handle it. Let God say, this person did this. I'm going to let it go. If they deserve judgment, guess what? God has said he'll take care of it. And I'm going to leave it to God. What a challenging thing to do. I'm trying to do this in my own life, and yet things happen. And the quick response, you know, it's taken years to build this up, right? It's probably not going to go away overnight. But I believe as we're more cognizant of it, more aware of it, that we cannot control what other people do. We cannot change other people's behavior. There's only one person's behavior we can change, and that is ours. There's only one person's behavior we're responsible for, and that's mine. I can't control what somebody else does, but I can control my response to it. And generally, it's the 10-second rule. Maybe for some it's a 5. Just before we respond to something, just take a few seconds. Think about what you're going to do. Think about what you're going to say. Because once those words go out, guess what? It's gone. Once you hit that send button, it's gone, right? It's gone. Take a few seconds. Just think about, what am I going to do? How am I going to respond to this? Sometimes, even to the point, we learned this from somebody else, is we respond to somebody and say, let me get back to you on that. Okay, something's happened. And instead of lashing out, instead of just instinctively coming against them the way we normally would in our worldly way, we say, let me get back to you. Give us time to cool down. Give us time to think about it. What response should I really have to this person? And then pray about it and allow God to guide us. Now, as we have this, we need to forgive. We need to forgive people who have hurt us. We need to forgive our enemies. And we say, I don't want to do that. And I say, well, just have to say it. That's an act of the will. I decide I'm going to forgive my enemies. Well, my heart won't be in it. That's okay. It's okay if your heart is not in it, because it begins with an act of the will. And I say, I forgive so-and-so. Not only do I just forgive them, I also pray God's blessing upon them. Well, my heart won't be in it. That's okay, because if we say it over and over again, eventually the feeling will follow. Remember, feelings follow fact. Say the words out loud, repeat them out loud over and over again. Eventually, it will seep in, and we will truly feel like we're actually forgiving this person. Now, I know you've heard this before. Some of you actually experienced it. Isn't it hard to hate somebody that you're praying for? Isn't it really hard to hate somebody? You're praying for them. You're hoping God's going to touch them. And, I mean, you know they need it. They probably have a bitterness inside of them, right? They've got all the stuff, pride and sloth and bitterness. And where does that come from? We pray that God would lead them to a sense of peace. It works amazingly well. Again, it's just the power of prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, not only working in us, but praying that the Holy Spirit would work in that person as well. And so that's the message, I think, for today. Again, consistent, I think, with all of the Sermon on the Mount. setting this incredibly high standard. There's no way we can meet this, and especially loving our enemies. That's a tough one. But we need to understand it's not about our enemy, it's not about them, it's about us. What God is working inside of me. Is it the transforming power of the Holy Spirit or not? Good gut check. How am I relating to my enemies? Good gut check about the work of the Holy Spirit in me. And then finally, am I willing to trust God to take care of these things? So I leave you with three questions today. First, am I aware of my own sinfulness? And I'm not just saying for us to say, oh yeah, you asked me, yeah, I'm a sinner. Yeah, I repent, you know, I'm sorry, I'm miserable me, you know, and sometimes that can go too far. What I'm talking about is when we see somebody else doing something and we know it's bad, instead of judging that person, we say, you know what, I have some of that inside of me as well. No matter how hard it is, why Jesus says, don't judge them, because guess what? You've got it in you as well. Remember the speck and the log in the eye. And to be able to look at a situation, somebody cuts us off driving, and me to be able to say, I'm growing into it, you know, I've done that too. I've been impatient or reckless. I wasn't thinking. And you know what? I've done that too. And I'm not gonna, you know, curse that person in a way. Okay? So am I aware of my own sinfulness, that these things that are in other people that I'm so quick to judge, they're in me as well? A second question I would present to us. Do I realize that it is about me? It's not about that other person. Not about what's outside. What is happening inside of me? That is what Jesus is concerned about throughout this Sermon on the Mount. The transforming power of the Holy Spirit working in my heart about me. But you don't know what that person did to me. Jesus is going to say, I don't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Are you allowing it to tear you up inside? Or are you going to let me set you free? A decision that we each make. A third question I would leave us with, do I truly trust God in all things? Again, this is consistent throughout this Sermon on the Mount. It talks about don't be anxious. Trust that God's going to give you what you need. Okay, but here he's saying this. You have something against your enemy? He says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Can we get to that point of saying, yes, this person did something, it was horrible. Fairness dictates that something bad would happen to them, that if I had the opportunity, I'm going to get them back. And boy, to say, nope, I'm just going to let it go, and I'm going to leave it to God. Do you see that? Talk about transformation of the heart. To be able to get to that point that I absolutely believe it's possible. I don't think I'm there yet. But I absolutely believe it's possible that we could actually not judge other people, but in fact say, I'm just going to leave that to God. Vengeance belongs to God and not to us. Wow. So as we continue to go through these things that Jesus tells us, the Sermon on the Mount, a tough bar of behavior, one that we cannot achieve. It is only by the grace of God that we are saved. But what do we see in the Sermon on the Mount? We do see good things that the Holy Spirit does in us as He transforms our heart. Particularly something like we actually are able to love our enemies. Doesn't mean we look forward to hanging around with them or even want to hang around with them. But if they need help, we're going to help them. That's what He's saying. My heart's not in it. Your heart doesn't have to be in it. Just do it. I don't want to forgive them. Just keep saying it and eventually the feeling will come. This is huge. About the evidence of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in my heart, to change my heart, to make me more like Jesus. And what we're seeing in the scripture, the results of this, is what comes into my heart is a sense of peace. I'm not worried about getting back at so-and-so. I'm not worried about the anxiety of you know, it's not fair and all the bad things. I just let it go. I move on to the next thing, and I leave it to the Lord. I think this is so important in our time today. We're seeing so much animosity, so much hate in our country today. You know, we've never seen it like this, have we? The racial divide, the political divides, it's mind-boggling. There's people out, you know, there's the protest and then there's the counter-protest and the horrible things that are being said about this side and that side. Absolutely horrible. Horrible. And yet it gets back to the same thing, is greed, you know. Each side, we want what we don't have, and we want it, and we think we deserve it, and we think it should be given to us, and we're going to be bitter about it until we get it. Wow. How life changed, how transforming it would be of the world if everybody lived by this, you know, loving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us. It would change the world. Now is the time. Now is the time that we allow the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts. Look at what we do with our enemies. Look at the attitudes that we have. Because I'm telling you again, the kingdom of God is upon us. Things are happening. The time is getting short. It is shorter now than when we first believed. The best is yet to come. Because God loves us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, you have set such a high standard to be perfect as you are perfect, really, Lord. And yet, Lord, we do believe as we surrender to the transforming power of your Holy Spirit, this is what you make us like Jesus. And Lord, in no other way is it more evident than in our dealings with our enemies, those who hate us and those whom we tend to hate back. So Lord, help us to be aware of our own sinfulness. Help us to know that you're looking at what's inside of us. You're not looking at that other person. In all things, Lord, help us to surrender to your Holy Spirit. All this we pray in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.